Good afternoon, and I have to pass along some thanks to Pastor Stephen. He's the one that gave me the idea for this. I was sitting back on a Wednesday or Sunday night, and one of the hymns he chose was "To God Be the Glory," and it was one of my top five, perhaps my favorite song of all time. It made me wonder about the glory of God, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So, the glory of God is a huge subject, and it really cannot be fully understood or described by humans. And we're just going to scratch the surface, just a little rough outline today about it. And the way I looked at it, I said, there's really three ways that term can be used in the Bible, the glory of God. And here's a definition I found. The invisible qualities, character, or attributes of God, which can be displayed in a visible or knowable way. And you go, wow, that's really deep. What does that all mean? So, the first part of that, I'm going to call type A, category A, glory, the intrinsic glory of God. What does that mean? That's the invisible qualities, the character and attributes of God. The Hebrew word in the Bible for that kind of glory, the glory of God, is kabod, K-O-B-O-D. And what it means is weight or heaviness. It's so great that it's so heavy. And that's what they're trying to describe with it. I was thinking, well, what does that make up in God's character? His magnificence, I would include that. His worth, his all-sufficiency, his loveliness, his beauty, his greatness, his perfection, his love, his mercy, his grace, his all-powerfulness, his omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence, and his righteousness, which is really goodness and perfection. And he's holy God, and he's a just God. Those are the kind of things that make up the glory of God intrinsically to him. Things we'll better understand in heaven, obviously. Just a couple verses. Psalm 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord, and great to be praised, and his greatness is beyond our understanding." Psalm 145:17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works." So that's one type of the glory of God. Second, I call it type B, or the extrinsic glory of God, is when the glory of God is on display in a visible or knowable way. The glory of God displayed in acts in order to make his glory known to those in his presence. And you can use a term from today's vernacular, when God goes public. That's what that means, that kind of glory. So how does God manifest his glory in Scripture? We see many examples. The first is in creation. The whole world is full of the glory of God. Everything in it, all animal life, all nature, canyons, forests, deserts, everything, the stars and heavens, are all manifestations of the glory of God. And then the image bearers, well, who are those? Those are the human beings, because we're created in the image of God. How about the way God manifests himself in the Old Testament times? In the burning bush to Moses, the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, the Shekinah glory in the tabernacle and in the temple. And God's glory is also manifest in his providence throughout Scripture. We came through Esther recently, and that's a great example of God's providence, when he's working behind the scenes to bring about his purposes and plans. And then as a redemptive acts, Jesus, of course, bare our sins on the cross. He died, rose again, so that we could be redeemed from sin. And that's a manifestation of God's glory. And then the number one, of course, is Jesus himself. Jesus reveals himself this way and as God in no better example. We know in John 14:9, "He that has seen me hath seen the Father." So that's the ultimate manifestation of the extrinsic glory of God. A couple verses, Psalms 19:1. "The heavens declare the glory of God, yes, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." So that's just touching the surface. You could have just sermon series on that topic alone, and we could go on for a long time. And then the third type of glory of God that I could think of would be to glorify. The glory of God is so wonderful, it causes believers to respond to God by glorifying him. And what does that mean? Well, we should bring honor and praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. We do that through songs. We do it through worship. We do it through prayer. In our lifestyle also, we live a life of obedience to scriptures and to God that brings glory to God. So, and we know the purpose of man is to glorify God. In Revelation 4:11, it tells us, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So Those are the three kinds of glory I could think of. And I want to talk about my favorite hymn for just a moment, because it's a manifestation of the third type of glory, where we're giving glory to God himself. And just a little backstory about the hymns. I love hymns. I love music. And there's often an interesting story that goes behind these things. This hymn was written by Fanny Crosby, the famous writer, lived in the 1800s. She became blind at the age of 6, and she was a student and a teacher in the New York Institute of the Blind. And she offered over 8,000 poems and texts, and many which were in songs. And we all know, praise him, praise him. Tell me the story. I am thine, O Lord. Blessed assurance. All the way my Savior leads me, and Jesus is tenderly calling. She was a Methodist, and she also, this is amazing to me, she praised her Creator like this without ever seeing the work of his hands. I think that's just amazing. And then the music was composed by a man named William Doane, who also lived in the exact same time period. He was from Cincinnati, Ohio. He is a lifelong Baptist, by the way. Many talents. He was a woodworker and patented many of these techniques. He was in manufacturing, became fairly wealthy, and he was a philanthropist. And in his church, he was the choir director, the Sunday school leader, church leader. He went to the Mount Auburn Baptist Church in Cincinnati. And he authored many songs such as Rescue the Perishing, Near the Cross, and I Am Thine, O Lord. And these two crossed paths in New York way back in the 1800s. And nobody knows whether the music or words were written first. But this song first appeared in a booklet called Songs of Devotion in 1872, published by Mr. Doane. And then a man named Ira Sankey saw this. How many people know who Ira Sankey is? All right, good. He was the song director for the famous evangelist Dwight L. Moody. And he published it, and they took it on crusade. They took it on a crusade in the Great Britain, to the UK in the late 1800s, and it became hugely popular in the UK. And at the same time it became very well known there, it died off in America, and it wasn't heard from like 50 years. It was just almost lost. And then, in 1952, the Billy Graham Crusade went to the UK, and Cliff Barrows, music leader for Billy Graham, saw this, took note of it, he liked it, and they brought it back to the United States, and it appeared in 1954 in the Billy Graham Crusade in Nashville, Tennessee. And from then on, it was published widely, and now we enjoy it today. It's an interesting story. Just to go over the song itself real quickly, a couple verses here. It starts out, verse 1 exhorts us to give God the glory because of the great things he hath done. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. We see in Deuteronomy 10:21. You don't have to turn there. I'll read them real fast for you. Here, he is thy praise and he is thy God that hath done for thee these great and awesome things which thine eyes have seen. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Now, that's an easy one, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who yielded his life in atonement for sin. You see that in Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement. And open the life gate that all may go in. We see that in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that findeth. So, and look at verse 2. Verse 2 exhorts us to give God the glory for the great salvation we can have through Jesus. And starts out with, O perfect redemption, the purchased of blood. We see that in, to every believer, the promise of God. We see that in Hebrews 9, verses 12 and 14. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The vilest offender who truly believes. You see a good example of that in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul writing, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. That moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And then in the final verse, it exhorts us to give God the glory for the hope he offers for believers in the future. And it begins with, great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done. And we see that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. In that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And great are rejoicing through Jesus our Son. You see that in Philippians chapter 4, fourth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. And a great example of that, I think, is found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So, and then the final, the refrain, is basically a worldwide call to worship. And I love Psalms 150, verse 6 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So I think it's a great hymn, a great hymn of the faith. And if you'll join me, let's go ahead and sing this.